As I mentioned last week, we're going to do something a little different with the sermons for a while. I don't know for how long. Ever since before we were a church, instead of following the lectionary, we've been going through various books of the Bible. And we got to the end of Luke after spent quite a bit of time with Luke, about 2 years, and looked like I might just go on into the book of Acts, which is the second book that Luke wrote. But I didn't want to take another 2 years with that without taking a break in between. And so what we're doing is I'm giving you an opportunity to choose the topic for each week's sermon by writing down any Bible passage, verse, or collection of verses, or topic that you would like to have us look at more closely. When I preach, it's my opportunity to give you my insights, and when we have Sunday school, it's your opportunity to share yours with me or to tell me I don't know what I'm talking about, which could very well be true. And so this morning, the verse that somebody selected wasn't me. The verse that somebody selected was Matthew 11, verse 28. Very familiar verse. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Perhaps that verse came to mind as we were singing this morning with the different songs we were singing, as well with My Soul and His Eyes on the Sparrow and Cast All Your Cares on Him and so forth. It's a promise that it's nice to have. We sometimes take it for granted. We sometimes hold on to it even when we don't believe it, even when we're not experiencing it. But what did Jesus mean when he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest"? Certainly it's an invitation to come. He's inviting a certain group of people, people who are feeling weary, people who are feeling burdened. If you're feeling self-sufficient, if you're feeling like you have all the answers, you don't need to apply. And what Jesus promises is rest. He doesn't promise healing. He doesn't promise an end to our trials. He promises rest. And I suppose rest is something we could all use now that Christmas is over. I'm sure that Jim Snyder can use some rest after all those cookies he made and brought last week that were so delicious. I think I've eaten all the ones I took home with me. I've tried to find an appropriate picture for the cover of the bulletin this morning. I found one, but then I realized I had used it a while ago, so I don't want to use it again. But the one on the cover is the same sort of picture that I had on there a while ago of Jesus holding someone who is obviously feeling weary and burdened. And I think we can all relate to that feeling. We all know what it is to feel weary. And we all know what it is to have burdens, some that we feel we can't bear. Not all of us know the rest that Jesus offers. And not every time that we feel weary and burdened and come to Him, do we automatically feel that rest. So, what is Jesus offering to us? What's He saying? I told Tammy, I said, I'm not much of an expert on doing this sort of thing, especially with verses like this. I tend to go more to the intellectual side. She's the heart, I guess. I'm the head. I don't know what kind of brain I have, but such as it is. But the past year has been a hard one for our church. And I'm sure most of you have felt it. I feel it every time our worship leader goes through the prayer list. I feel it every time Tammy and I sit down for a meal and we say grace. We're in the habit of asking God to bless our meal, but also lifting up to Him at that time people with particular needs. And there have been a lot lately, just in our church. I had a call from a fellow named Elroy Vesta. He's a Lutheran Brethren pastor in North Dakota. And ever since COVID began, he took it upon himself to regularly call every pastor in the LB, ask them how they're doing and what he can pray for. And a lot of times I miss his call because I'm busy and he leaves a message. I missed his call this past week. And I got his message and I called him back, which I don't usually do. And I said, Elroy, I appreciate your praying for us. And I thank you for caring about us and our congregation. He said, what can I pray for? And I said, just pray for our church. Because when I go through the roster of our church, which I like to do regularly, every day if I can, with each name that I mention to God, need will come to mind if there's a need there. And I said, it seems as though lately every name that I lift up in prayer, there's some need associated with it. And I remember the words of Paul when he's writing to 2 Corinthians, second letter to the Corinthians Christians, and he says to them, I mentioned it last week, Matthew read it a couple for Christmas Eve. You know, we're burdened, but we're not overcome. We're perplexed, but we're not confused, whatever. And then he, in another place in the same letter, he talks about some of the burdens that he has. You know, I've been beaten up so many times. I've been shipwrecked so many times. My own people hate me. The Greeks hate me. Everybody hates me. And he says, then he says, and on top of everything else, I carry the burden of the churches. Who is not suffering, and I suffer with them? Who is not tempted into sin, and I don't feel for them? And I think I've related to that more than I ever thought I would. When I think of Jesus saying, I will give you rest, I know there are some people who think that rest means he's going to take all my problems away. But I don't think that's what he means. If I could have make a picture of Jesus giving rest, my picture would be something I've seen on TV quite often through the month of December and into January. I think you're all familiar with the commercials for the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, with the dogs that look so pathetic, and I'm thinking, why are you taking his picture? Why aren't you feeding him or something? And the Shriners Hospital. But the one that comes most to my mind is the commercial for St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. One picture in particular of a young girl who's suffering from cancer. She's lost all her hair. She has tubes coming out of her body. And her mother is holding her. And as she rests in her mother's arms, I sense, maybe I'm not accurate here, but I sense that her daughter is at rest. Her problems aren't over. Perhaps it won't end well. But for that moment, she's at rest. And I ask myself, why? Why, if she's suffering so much, can she be so much at rest just because her mother or her father is holding her? I've always had that question. When our kids were small and they had health issues, which they had, somehow it just never seemed enough just to be there, just to hold them. I would say to myself, what good do you think you're doing them if you can't take away the problem? And as I thought about that, and as I thought about the commercial from St. Jude's, and I thought about my own sense of inadequacy in those times when what my children needed, I couldn't provide, I realized something, maybe for the first time. That young girl in her mother's arms wasn't at rest because she thought her mom could cure her. She was at rest because she knew her mom loved her. And I think that there are many people in this world who are not suffering or don't think that they're suffering. But when they see the image of that girl with cancer in her mother's arms and see the sense of rest in the child's face, it occurs to me that just maybe they would be more willing to be suffering with something themselves than have someone love them, than have a comfortable life where nobody cares. How can I find rest if I don't find help? Many people would look at that image on the cover of the bulletin or the picture of St. Jude's that I've presented to you, and they would say, this proves to me that there is no God. Because how could a God, a good God, allow a child to suffer and to die of cancer? I look at that image of the child in her mother's arms, and to me, that is proof that there is a God. To think that in the midst of such suffering and such pain, a simple gesture of love could mean so much. Jesus says, "Come to me if you're weary, if you're burdened, and I will give you rest." What he's really saying is, I love you. And in my arms, you will find love. Now, there are certain things we have to do. Jesus isn't making a blanket promise here. There are conditions. First, we have to come. We can't just stay wrapped up in ourselves. But if we keep reading, we realize we also have to take his yoke upon us and learn from him, because he's gentle and humble in heart. We do that, he says, and we'll find rest for our souls, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Well, there have been times I take exception to that, when I think his yoke isn't really that easy. The things he wants me to do, it's not a light burden. But then he brings to mind a rather amusing picture from years ago. When Tammy and I were younger than we are now, and I was feeling more the joy of life, and we had a bicycle built for two, and we would go riding, not very often, but occasionally. I'd be cycling on the front of the bike, and she'd be cycling in the back, and all of a sudden I'd feel that my pedals were going a little bit harder, and I'd look back and she's not pedaling. Well, the yoke is kind of like that, you know. I've never been in a yoke. I've never grown up on a farm, but I know what a yoke is. You put two oxen, two animals together, you yoke them together with a wooden bar, and you've got two oxen doing the work of one. And one's helping the other, and when one gets tired, the other does the work. And maybe that's what Jesus is saying. Any burden I give you, I'm not giving you your orders and telling you to go out and do it. I'm saying this is what we're going to do. And if we do it together, you'll find it's really not that hard. The secret is being gentle and humble in heart. One of the biggest burdens that we carry is the burden of the pain that other people have done to us. It's a heavy burden, a painful burden, because every time we think of it, it brings to mind the pain that's associated with it. And Jesus is saying to us, if we would learn humility, gentleness, we would find that we can let that pain go. And in doing so, ease our burdens quite a bit. Jesus promises rest. As I said before, he does not promise healing. He does not promise to make everything okay. He promises rest if we allow ourselves to be yoked to him. And as I go through the Bible, I see several examples of people who took God up on that promise. I think of people who experienced health issues, the kind of pain we often think of when we think of pain. I think of Job. I don't know what his condition was, but health-wise, he was not in very good shape. He's sitting on an ash heap using a piece of pottery to scrape himself. I can understand that because I get itchy this time of year. My doctor tells me it's from dry skin. I don't believe him, but I still try to do what he tells me to do. I get itchy and I'd do anything to relieve the itch. And then what's he say? Oh, don't scratch. Easy for you to say. There have been doctors who've tried to diagnose Job and have come up with some interesting diseases. And then there's Paul and the thorn in his flesh. I'm sure you remember that. I think it was eye problems that he had ever since his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Both of them prayed for healing. Eventually, Job was healed. But eventually, Paul wasn't. God's answer to Paul was simply, "Don't worry. My grace is made perfect in your weakness." Thanks a lot, God. That doesn't really seem to help me. It does, if we act on it. But both of them found rest in God. Eventually, Job went kicking and screaming the whole way. But when he encountered God, that was enough. And all his complaints were silenced. And he found rest. The healing came later. The rest came first. I think of people who face trials, and the trials are a burden to them. People lose their jobs. In this economy, that's almost a death sentence. People have to go to work and have a supervisor that seems to be out to get them, and that doesn't help. There are all kinds of trials. Daniel had the lion's den, and some of us feel like we walk into a lion's den when we go to work or sometimes when we go home. Jesus had his trial. He begged God to take it away from him. For Daniel, the lions were quiet and at rest. They didn't bother him. For Jesus, the cross was there, and the only way past it was to go through it. And yet both of them found rest in God. Jesus, for all of his begging that the trial be taken away from him, eventually said, "Lord, it's your will. We're yoked together and you're leading the team. I'll go where you fall. And at least I'll know I'm not alone." Sometimes we're in the middle of a situation and we wonder, what's the next chapter going to look like? Joseph experienced all kinds of humiliation at the hands of his own brothers and then at the hands of his employer. Eventually, he was elevated to the second highest position in Egypt. Abram experienced the same sorts of things as he wandered from place to place, never did find a home. The only piece of land he ever owned in what we call Israel today was a burial plot for his wife. And yet both Joseph and Abram found rest in the presence of God in their lives. Sometimes we know why the trials come. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes the trials are just temporary. Sometimes they're permanent. But whatever the situation, when we humble ourselves before God, when we share our struggle with Jesus and say, "This is what I'm going through right now. Do you care?" And when we find in Jesus the caring that we long for, the trial becomes bearable. Jesus was burdened and heavy laden when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, pouring his heart out to God, a God who didn't seem to listen, a God who would not give him what he asked for, a God who didn't take the trial away. But before he left that garden, he was at peace, because he knew he was in the center of God's will. He knew that God was with him, sharing his burden. And he knew that his Father loved him. And it's that love that makes the difference. There are many people who would say, "If God loves me and he's all powerful, why doesn't he just take my suffering away?" And I guess the test of love is believing that someone loves us even when they don't do what we wish they would do for us. We only see part of the story. As Paul says, we see through a mirror darkly. Sometimes we see nothing but shadows, sometimes we see nothing but darkness. But if in that darkness we know that God is holding us, we can have rest. We can have a rest that is so powerful, it's stronger than the suffering we're enduring. This is the rest he promises us. Sometimes it comes with healing. Sometimes it comes with the end of the trial. Sometimes it is the power that carries us through the trial. And even if the trial is not over when we die, we know there's another chapter to be written. Come to me if you're weary, if you're burdened. Tell me about your burden. There's healing in sharing the burden. I know that Jesus knows my need. He knows my suffering. He shares my suffering even when I don't know he's there. But there's something about sharing it with him that releases some of that burden and enables me to experience his arms of love enfolding me. Come to me. Don't just sit by yourself and try to bear it on your own. Don't try to be brave and just put one step in front of the other. Come to me. Come to me if you're burdened, if you're weary, and I will give you rest. I will yoke myself to you. And together, we will face the burden that weighs so heavily on you. And when you can't bear it, I will bear it and you both. Come to me if you're weary and burdened, and know that I love you. And that love will be enough, because it comes from him. Heavenly Father, some of the most powerful promises in your word are so simple that we read over them and don't give them a second thought. What a privilege, what an opportunity, when you invite us to come, when you encourage us to open our heart to you. What a privilege to be enfolded by your love, not because we've done some wonderful deed, but just because you love us and you want us to know your love and find rest in your love. Through Christ we pray. Amen.